Welcome to Heroes of the Horn, a Wheel of Time podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I am Sir Ezra. Welcome to our Wheel of Time book club. The horn has sounded, and we have answered the call.
All right, Ez, it is time to jump into part one of the Lord of Chaos here. You know, every time I read it, I want to say Lords of Chaos, but really, is there only one?
That's Lord the question. Of Chaos? That is the question. Is there one? It was intentional. Lord of Chaos versus Lords of Chaos. Like, so who is that?
So part one here, we're doing chapters 1 through 3, right? Because we're probably gonna take this book a little bit slower than we did some of the other ones, because we're past season one, and Ez tells me that everything in this book is like this is one of the most important books you read in the series, so it's the one we got to take a little bit slower, which I'm fine with.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely.
So we're doing chapters 1 through 3. So chapter 1, Lion on the Hill. So Rand practices the sword against 5 opponents and beats 4 of them, though one manages to strike him. When Nain suggests the 5 had planned it, she is surprised that his reply is merely, "Can I always count on my enemies not to work together?" The nobles who supported Gabriel praise him, though Bashir disapproves and tries to stab him to show him swords are useless when he has the power and is surrounded by both Aiel and Saldaeans to protect him from men with swords. Rand hears Luz Theron in his head claiming the only way to live is to die, which Rand has apparently been told before. Bashir asks after Matt, wondering where he learned to be a commander. Rand tells him of the tower split and his belief that there are hundreds of Aes Sedai ready to support him, and that he intends to use them as they will try to use him. Tumad, a Saldaean, announces that Mazrim Taim has arrived. So I gotta say, Ez.
Yeah.
Diving back in here, as we progress, because I was not fond of the last book, and I'm already way more into this book. I love anytime the practicing of the sword comes up and the different techniques and the different forms and like the idea of being a blade master comes into play, because it's just always because anybody can do it. And then here you have Rand, who we already sort of think of as so powerful because he's, the Dragon Reborn. Anytime you see him sort of doing something where he's like leveling up, it just seems that much cooler.
Yeah, yeah. Let me do that part. I like that part as well. And so here we go. We have a skinny man. The skinny man was good as well. So Rand's paying these people to come fight him. Rand offered gold for the best, and they came. He was tall as an Andarin, though Rand overtopped him by a hand, yet height had little bearing with the sword. Sometimes strength did. Rand went at him in an all-out attack. The man's long face tightened, and he gave ground. The boar rushes down the mountain, crashes through the parting silk, broke lightning of 3 prongs, and the bundle slashed, right? So he's just describing some of these attacks. I love that they're all named. If you look up the different sword forms and the sword attacks, there's like literally, hundreds of them. So yeah, it's a really cool moment where he's kind of practicing the sword, getting better, and trying to improve, as you say, leveling up, right, as the dragon.
Absolutely. So then Rand is hearing, right, he's hearing Luz Theron, the only way to live is to die,
right? Yeah, I know. So again, this is something that kind of keeps happening. He's going to keep learning more and more about the dragon and about who he is supposed to be, about Luz Theron. He will start to, and he already has sort of started to talk or like kin, to this voice in his mind that's talking to him. Like we, the reader, can see that. And we understand that that's happening. But what will be interesting, I'm not sure if it's happened yet, but there'll become a very different, discussion go on inside that head later. I think it's already kind of started to happen, but I know it happens in this book. And so it's important to watch the way he talks or considers Luz Theron in this book.
Yeah. 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 No, it's cool, because I'm glad that we're getting more of this, because, one of the things they keep teasing is, right, like the idea of going mad. And it's never really felt like Rand is ever going to go mad. But now that we're starting this book off with him hearing Luthien and him saying, hey, man, the only way you can do this is if you die. It does finally feel like Rand is hitting a little bit of a potential roadblock, because up to this point, you know, one of my criticisms, I guess, are just observations, is that, man, and none of the villains in this have ever really felt significant. And now it feels like, okay, maybe it is, because the more we hear Rand think about Luthien, the more it seems like, well, maybe he could go mad. And what happens then?
Right. Yeah, exactly. That was pretty cool. They showed us outright what can sort of happen with the taint. Now, let me read this. Like, Davron Bashir, who's going to be super, super freaking important, is this Marshal General, as you said, and he's got like all the practicing, you know, Rand is like sweating and stuff, and he does, as you just read there, dashes up and let me see if I can find it here real quick. Yeah. Shifting in his chair, Bashir laughed. Do you think you'll live long enough to equal the greatest swordsman in history? An angry mutter came from the Andorans, feigned anger. Rand was sure, but Bashir ignored it. You are who you are, after all. Suddenly he moved like an uncoiling spring, the dagger drawn with shifting, was drawn quickly, fast. Shifting flashed towards Rand's heart. Rand did not move a muscle. Instead, he seized Saidin, the male half of the true source. It took no more than a thought, no more than breathing. Saidin flooded into him, carrying the Dark One's taint, an avalanche of foul ice, a torrent of reeking molten metal, and it crushed him and all that kind of stuff, right? So that happens right out the gate. Like, Bashir is trying to show him that that's not who you are. You are training with the sword. This is, but you got to start to embrace these things. He's got this dagger in close combat, so challenging him. He's there seeking Mazrim Taim, this other false dragon that's come down from Saldea. And yeah, Rand, I think, yeah, has Rand, is it in this chat? Has he already made the proclamation for male channelers, or is that, I think it might be coming.
That's coming
here. Okay. So, but the whole point is that Mazrim Taim is a male channeler, and Rand is starting to kind of understand that, like, we may need these guys. They're not all bad. He's just one of them. He's using the same source that they're using. And so far, it hasn't gotten to him, except for he is hearing somebody in his mind. Now, is that the madness? Is that the taint? Or is he just the dragon freaking reborn? But Davron Bashir is freaking awesome. And he does, in a lot of ways, challenge Rand, but then respects him and helps him sort of become the dragon. Training with the sword is cool. But what did he do right here in this moment? He's got that dagger up on his neck. Saidin, baby. It's just kind of, it's sort of like you think of like Daenerys, right? Daenerys Targaryen. Dragons. You can do all the political maneuvering you want, but at the end of the day, you're a dragon, and this is the Dragon Reborn. And I feel like that's what this book, The Lord of Chaos, really does for me, is start to say, Rand, you've got some power, and yes, we've seen some of it, but we've only seen a fraction,
right?
And so it's like go time. And I think that's what people expect of the dragon. So this is just kind of a cool moment. And remember, we're in Camelon, and that's at the end of the last book, that's where we were, beating Ravin. So we're here now. We know that there are, from the prologue, we learned that the Aes Sedai factions are coming in, trying to go seek him. But my friend, in the last book, he was in Kyrian, and then he was in, you know, Camelon. So he's gone back and forth to both. So now he's balancing two seats of power, which is going to be something to sort of watch and pay attention to, is that Rand is now in two different spots. So
yeah. Okay. Chapter two here, a new arrival. So Davron Bashir tells Rand he will respect the amnesty, but if Taim goes to Saldea, nothing will protect him there. He orders Lear and Nain, to leave there to their obvious relief. Taim arrives and taunts Bashir, who doesn't recognize him at first. He claims this is because he shaved. He mentions some Saldaeans who tried to kill him under a parley flag and will now just want to serve and obey. Rand tells him that if he taunts Bashir again, he'll let Bashir kill him. After Rand refuses to form a compact with him, he falls to his knees and submits, claiming he wants whatever glory may fall his way and that he has no other real choice. Rand tells him that if he is to teach men to channel, he is to teach men to channel, and Taim admits he has done it before, though he had to kill the only man who tried to learn. Rand realizes he does not like Taim and wonders if he is truly sane to be so relaxed, surrounded by people who are ready to kill him. He hands Rand one of the seals, which in a moment of madness with Luce Theron's voice encouraging him, Rand almost tries to break before Bashir stops him.
Wow, dude. And so this is okay. We've talked about Loghain, and I'm bringing him up, even though he's not brought up in this chapter. But this is a character that is interesting. Mazrim Taim. It is a name we're going to hear for a while. And I think what chapter two, a new arrival, does really well is the dragon, our strongest male channeler, is looking at Mazrim in a way that's like, he knows a lot. This guy is powerful. He may even know things I don't know, right? Rand does a lot of stuff by instinct because he is the dragon. He has that Tavir in nature. A lot of that stuff sort of helps him. But I almost, and I know people are going to call me out for this, but I almost admire like Loghain and Mazrim Taim and these other guys who they don't have the dragon factor and they don't have the Tavir in nature. And so they're still very, very powerful individuals. So here, like, this whole conversation, Bashir tracks him into Andor. And then now Mazrim Taim answers this call. Before Rand, other men, Mazrim Taim. Before Rand, other men through the centuries had claimed to be the dragon reborn. And it goes on to kind of talk about some of those men. Mazrim Taim was one of those, raising an army, and he was kind of, he was attacking up in Saldea. Bashir's face did not change, but he gripped his sword, white-knuckled, and so they're having that sort of confrontation. It is later, they're talking about the crimes. You know, Bashir is talking about all the things that he did in Saldea and just how awful he is. But Rand sort of says, it's time to put those things aside. You know, the Forsaken did far worse. And let me see if I can find that. Yeah. Essentially that he's talking about Samael, Demondred. He talks about Masana setting up a school where in which they trained people back in the day to believe in the dark, almost like they brainwashed people, young kids and children, into adopting and following the ways of the Dark One. It's radical. And the other thing that's really interesting is you have an instant lash out of Luce Theron. This is where I said his voice is going to matter. It's become more and more important because he's saying, kill him, right? He wants him dead. Don't let him live, you know, be done with him. Now, is that Luce Theron mad? Is that Rand just is still this whole idea of a voice in his mind? Does Luce Theron know something about Mazrim Taim? Or is he this way with all male channelers? Is it the Dark One's taint that he's sensing? You know, I think that's the what we're, as readers, we're supposed to kind of wrestle with in these first couple of chapters, you know?
Right. Well, how many male channelers have we met so far? I think, really, we met... How many male channelers have we met that can channel so far that I guess we know of?
Yeah, that we know of. So, I guess, what, Loghain?
But Loghain was gentled, wasn't he, by the time we met? By the time we meet him, and we've met,
right,
Osmodian. Well, no, we met the Forsaken.
Yeah,
but
really having a conversation though with
Rand's only really fought them. He's never really like met someone,
right,
who can channel.
Like, right, my question is, yeah, like I think what you're supposed, is it just Mazrim Taim? Or is it the taint that goes with him? Because again, there's something special about the Forsaken. So I'm going to put them in another category. But right. I guess, you know, you're right. We haven't seen him with anyone else to kind of compare. And so my question is, are we supposed to take this personal to Mazrim Taim? Or is it the fact that he's a male channeler? Or will we be able to distinguish between him and other male channelers? He's put the call forward now. So we'll have to kind of see who's going to come and answer that call. people said it was madness. Like a lot of them were saying, like, there's no way men are going to come forward. But the dragon, who now it occupies Kyrian and Camelin, is he seems to have a big seat of power in the Aiel. The other big factor too is that people can see the Aiel, the dragon's people, and so they know that he's got this kind of sway. And he does actually take a knee and he swears fealty to the dragon, and says that he's going to do sort of his bidding, teach people these different things. He talks about ways in which he can test folks.
All right, I'm going to pull up the map.
Yeah,
I'm going to pull up the map here too. I mean, yeah, it's crazy also, you know, just to sort of start thinking about this, the amount of, I mean, look at Rand's sphere of influence at this point, mm-hmm. right? So we've already got, I got the map pulled up here. So we've got the Aiel Waste, right? He took over Tyr, right? That's like one of the first things he does. And now we're into Camelin and Kyrian. I mean, he's got like this whole like southeast side, like is now just like basically Rand's. And then I guess technically he could walk into Amon's Field over there in the Two Rivers. So really like, there, down to here, up and over there, all this.
That's a good point. Yeah, to show this, because that is a good sphere of influence, and it's important to look at the map.
I can't zoom and draw on this, unfortunately.
Oh, come on now. Come on. What's up with the technology? No, but from north to south there, and then just over the Aiel, or the spine of the world, from the Aiel Waste over... you do have the Shido clan kind of running around doing all their craziness, but he has set up leaders in Tyr. He's got folks in Kyrian, and now he's going to be seeing some of these nobles here in Camelin.
Rand's. I mean, and again, remember also too, now that he's got Kyrian, I mean, the White Tower is just down the street, basically. I mean, it's just right there.
Right. And actually, let's see here real quick, as I'm looking at that map, you've got Kyrian and then you've got Camelin. Okay, perfect.
All the way down here to Tyr. Remember, he was going to have like Tyr go to war with Ilion. I mean, like,
right.
I mean,
zoom in, if you will, for just a second. And guys, I think this would be really kind of cool if you are watching on the YouTube, just to kind of check out this map. Down just left of Tyr, left of Ilion. And is it Solidar?
Right. That's Ebondar. Yeah, Saladar is north of Ebudar. Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah, yeah. So Saladar is that other, the rebel faction, and they're going to be sending, I think we found out in the prologue, right, that they're sending an embassy or like a group to Camelin, and then the White Tower is sending a group to, is it Kyrian or do I have them reversed? I might have them reversed. I'll have to look that up again. But either way, they're sending their they're going to meet the dragon, and one group is going to Kyrian and one is going to Camelin. I'll have to make a correction here later on as I figure out which one is which. But either way, I think it's really, really a cool thing to look at where they're at and why they chose to go where they go. It's also all based upon information and what they're learning from the ears and eyes and their network of spies and stuff too. But I want to, while Matt has the map up here, I also want to read something to you guys real quick. It was just kind of one of these epic moments where when Mazrim Taim shows up, he says that he came there to see him. You were the one in the vision in the sky. They say it was the Dark One himself you fought. Rand says, not the Dark One. Bashir was not fighting him exactly. And he's like holding on to Bashir here while he's about to pull his knife and go after Taim. If he let go, the blade would be out and through Taim in a heartbeat, unless he used the power or Taim did. That had to be avoided if it could be. He kept his grip on Bashir's wrist. He called himself Baal-Zamon, but I think he was Ishmael. I killed him later in the Stone of Tyr. And then Taim says, I hear you've killed a number of Forsaken. Should I call you my Lord Dragon? I have heard this lot use the title. Do you mean to kill all the Forsaken? And the Rand says, do you know any other way to deal with them? They die or the world does. Unless you think they can be talked into abandoning the shadow the way they abandon the light. So kind of just an epic moment where Taim's revealing why he kind of, you know, goes in there and talks to Rand. And then you have this this moment where they talk about the Forsaken, the sins of the Forsaken, and then he's asking if he'll submit. And rage rose up in Rand till his vision filmed red. Oh, here we go. No, sorry, I'm back up. So let's see. Taim tilted his head unaware. I would be the lesser partner, of course, yet I had come, yet I have had years more than you to study the power. There is much I could teach you. And this is where Luce Theron's like, no one is going to speak to me that way. And it's like the dragon's rage. And I love it. And he just freaks out. Kill him. No compact, no partners. Dragon Reborn, Taim, me. If you have knowledge, I can make use of it. I will. But you will go where I say and do as I say when I say. So anyways, it's just a cool kind of Rand has to, I don't know, press his Taviran nature, his dragon authority, and make Taim submit. But keep a close eye on Taim because his facial expressions give away a lot. His intentions, what are they? He says he can train men, and that is exactly what Rand is going to use him for, is to train any of these men, or to find more men, right, who can come and be ready that he can aim them towards Tarmin Gaiden. He wants them ready for the last battle. And Bashir is here witnessing all of this, ready to kill the man. So,
yeah. Okay. We can dive into chapter 3 here and then really just kind of summarize, because it's all really like sort of one event. So Rand travels, this is a woman's eyes. Rand travels with Taim to the farm to meet the would-be male channelers. He releases the gateway before Avienda can join him. He tells Taim that he may face the Forsaken, which does not concern or surprise him, and warns him against Shadowspawn. On first sight, Taim is not impressed and is surprised that Rand does not know how to test. Initially, Jur has changed his mind, but Rand manipulates him into being tested. Damir is tested first by sensing a resonance while Taim channels a flame. After discovering he can learn, Rand tells Taim he is leaving, instructing him to teach the test so they can find new students, but to be weapons above all, and to be aware of any student who learns too fast, which honestly was one of like my, it's like, it's such a quick line, like in passing, the way it's sold, but it's just, it carries so much weight, and I love that line.
Right,
who could be or forsaken in disguise. This time, Taim is shocked. Rand lets slip that he intends to cleanse Sidene to Taim's wonderment. Rand tells him to seize Sidene, and when he does, Luce Theron's mad voice demands he kill him. He notices Taim does not sweat and is mothered by several of the maidens. He leaves after seeing a student fail.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is testy, another testy chapter. Mm-hmm. These two,
yeah, right? there was also a little bit of talk, and I don't remember which chapter it was, but they were talking a little bit about like if you come across a dark hound, like you like Balefire and how they should be. There was a little bit there about like Balefire and be, I think it was this chapter,
it is,
like, and be wary of Balefire. That's not in the summary here, but that was interesting. But yeah, the line that really stuck out to me the most, and again, it's in the chapter, it's just such short passing the way it's as they're doing all of this stuff, but it's like, to be wary of any student who learns too fast, which it's just so interesting, because it, I don't know why it stuck out to me, but it's just this line, and it's just said so quickly, just as it is here in the summary, but it does so much, because it shows also, like, think about how far Rand has come, because it, so much of Rand's development in these books is like, it happens so fast, because it's like, you know, now Rand is just, he already knows, like, hey, they could be Forsaken, they could be this, they could be that. He's like a general now, man. It's just one of those things where you turn around, the next thing you know, your kid's all grown up.
Right, yeah, exactly. And he does, you brought up a really cool point about some of those subtle, quick mentions. This is where Robert Jordan does a lot of reminding and like helping us recall events and powers and things that are important, because he talks about not only Balefire, but the Bubble of Evil, too. And he says, do you know Balefire? If you don't, that is one thing I'll not teach you. If you do, don't use it on anything but Shadowspawn, and you're not to teach it to anyone. The source of some of those rumors you heard might be, I don't know what to call them except bubbles of evil. Think of them like bubbles that sometimes rise up in a bog. Only they are rising from the Dark One as the seals weaken, and instead of rotten smell, they are full of evil. They drift along the pattern until they burst, and when they do, anything can happen. Anything. Your own reflection can leap out of a mirror and try to kill you. Believe me. So he's just reminding us of things that have happened and trying to teach Taim a little bit. He says, and then Taim says, I've been in the Blight. I've killed Trollocs before. And Murdraw, he pushed a low branch out. And then he said, I've never heard of Balefire, but if a Darkhound comes after me, I will find a way to kill it. And so he was good for that. Like that's a good thing. He's wanting him to kind of be this weapon, teach these men. And there's all this kind of back and forth about what Rand knows, what does Taim know. And I think you can probably, Matt, already start to feel like a, I don't know what you would call it, but a tugging, right? Like a back and forth, right? Kind of power struggle, but between the two, you know?
Yes. No, yeah, 100%. Well, I mean, it's so rare that we see male channelers. It's a pretty rare thing. I mean, how many have we seen up to this point? You know, as I said earlier, it's like, I don't know. Couldn't tell you. I mean, under five, probably.
Yeah. And now we have a whole bunch of them being tested, and they're in this farm. And this is, you know, Rand is going up to meet some of them. It's time to meet your students. Taim hung back. This is truly all you want from me, to try and to teach these pathetic dregs. If any of them can be taught, how many do you really think to find in a handful that have just straggled to you? And so, again, yeah, he's just kind of pulling Taim into this, wanting him to teach, wanting him to go and find these people. And it's interesting. It's a whole nother side of this. We have not seen, as you said, really any of these male channelers. And it's a super scary thing anyways. From the beginning of the story, the dragon's fang is not a good thing. The white flame of Tarvalin is what you want. We're okay with women channelers, but
or is that the propaganda that's been spread?
Right, it's probably propaganda. Exactly, 100%. It is 100%. But these channelers, I think we're learning about them, and they're just men. Some of them are just farmhands. Some of them are just they're rolling in here. You've got the likes of Fedwin, Damer, Eben, and so on, and they're all going to be tested. And again, a lot of them that show up that think they can channel are going to be tested, just like the tower. Some are sorted out, some have more power, some don't. And he actually will find a place for even those who can't necessarily channel or pass the test. They're going to go learn the sword. They're going to be weapons, you know. Yeah. And that's what he's all about. Like we're in this for the last battle, so you know. We'll need every soldier we can find before the last battle. The Shadow will have new Dreadlords ready to channel. You can count on it, but it's your choice. Maybe you'll be able to sit it out on your farm. There must be a few places in the world that will escape what's coming. I hope so. Anyway, the rest of you will do our best to make sure as much escape as possible. At least you can give your name to Taim, though. So again, he's just kind of giving words of encouragement and then talking about the stakes, really, and what's going to happen here in the last battle. So, yeah, man, it's just kind of really cool. And I think the other thing, too, to watch is, like, the abilities. You know how, like, Moraine sort of has her own little... They have their own specialties, right? You have the one power. You work inside of a field. You have even the different Ajahs and strengths in certain weaves. You're going to notice, again, that some of what male channelers can do and what these guys can do is different from what the female channelers can do, which is cool.
Yeah. No, it's cool. It's cool. It's definitely cool that we're beginning to learn all this stuff and see and beginning to see male channelers. And also, let's not get rid of it. Let's not dismiss the fact that Rand says, hey, I intend to cleanse Sidene, which is like the big, huge deal. Cause everything we've learned up to this point is it's bad, it's dangerous, and it's going to ruin everything. If he can cleanse it, well, then now you just think about the amount of soldiers you've just unlocked.
Oh yeah, absolutely. If he can do that, yeah, it'd be huge. And again, right now, as long as the madness doesn't catch up to them, big deal to have them, just to have channelers in general. As he's saying, you know, it was kind of a joke, but maybe that the Murdraw at one point can channel. But they've got Forsaken, they've got leaders in these armies. So you're going to need. Wow, and you've got Dark Friends, man. You've got other people who might even... You've got the Black Aja. They work for the Dark One. They are channelers, female channelers, that are in opposition to Rand and what he needs and what he wants to do. So that's going to be kind of a he needs more men. He needs more channelers. And right now the White Tower is fractured and they want to control the dragon. They want to, you know, leash him, if you will. They want him on a leash. They want a dragon on a leash, my friend. And that's not a good thing.
That's a bad idea.
Bad idea. It's a real bad idea. Because you know what Moraine up to this point has been trying to do is to guide. And you notice, let's go back to something real quick. Moraine tried to she was in the end had realized what we saw on the show, which was the defiance of the dragon, and for him to be kind of stubborn, and this dragon nature kind of came out. So when she goes to Rudion, she basically figures out that she almost needs to, I will do whatever you need. I'll show some sort of, I don't need you to kind of, because the Aes Sedai are almost a little bit prideful in the book. Like you need to kind of, you should be hanging on my every word. Like my words are wise. Why wouldn't you listen to me, etc.? Why would you even question this? And then you find out along the way that we should be questioning a lot of what they say. And that there's a lot that was lost in the Age of Legends. And you have a man speaking to Rand in his mind from the Age of Legends. And Moraine starts to say, okay, I've got to handle this differently. Well, unfortunately, Moraine has not been able to report back to the other her other sisters, right?
Right.
So everything she's kind of learned here, Robert Jordan just literally chucks out the door. Literally. Yeah. Out the door. So, you know, like now he has Avienda around him. Avienda goes here. He has the Wise Ones who are helping him. He is now just sort of in control. He's got Egwene, and she's still studying with the Wise Ones, but he's got to sort of balance all of this. These Aes Sedai that are coming at him now, I think the big question as we launch into the next batch of chapters, right, Matt, is like, how do you approach a man like this? He's got his back up against the wall, sort of, right? He's in a whole new territory. He's now drawing upon the lessons that Moraine taught him. He's got to govern two places, set up rulership, trust Taim. And there's a whole like 2 to 3 paragraphs in here where, again, he has trust issues. He's, you know, Mazrim Taim is saying like, as my Lord Dragon commands, but yet really he's got this kind of smirk on his face the whole time. I don't trust him. You know what I mean?
I think
if you're reading this, I think it's fair to say you're not meant to trust him right now. It's pretty clear. Luc Theron is saying, kill him now. For a moment, shock gripped Rand. The emptiness surrounding him wavered. Saidin raged and swelled, and he barely released the power before it could crush the void and him both. Had he seized the source or had Luc Theron? Kill him. Kill him. This voice echoing in his mind. So that's another big thing, is that it seems like Rand is losing control of himself, and there are threats all around him. And actually, one thing that the show did was to say, threaten the dragon and watch him come forth. And so that is sort of all these threats are emerging around Rand, and they might come in the form of the Aes Sedai. You know, they can come present themselves as nicely as they want to, but I don't know. I think he's seeing dark friends everywhere. He's seeing, like you said, the one line that pops out, watch for any man who channels or who learns too quickly. Right?
Yeah.
It's a problem. Yeah. They're in among us. So, yeah, man, it's a really cool way to start this. And it's an acceleration in male channelers. As you said, we've now have all these different individuals to weigh. The warning signs are going off with Mazrim Taim. They're not going off with the students yet. And maybe that's because they can't channel, and we'll have to wait and kind of read and find out and figure that out. But it's a dangerous thing right now to be training all these men who could be dealing with the Dark One's taint on Saidin and maybe go mad at some point. Like, how do you decide when they've gone mad and when to gentle? You know what I mean?
I don't think they do. I think they just view and say, you're a man, you're mad, you're done.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So I know it's wild. One more thing too, just in terms of like the dynamic, like Rand, when he, at the end of the chapter 3, he goes back and he's going back to Camelin, and Elaine is, you know, Camelin is Elaine's, but he's trying to set this seat up for her. And what we heard in the prologue and what we'll hear from other characters is, what in the world is Rand doing? The rumor is that Rand killed more gays.
Yeah.
Or that she's been killed, and that
right
Rand went there, and things are so distorted. And so we hear other characters struggle with that. We know he didn't do that. We know he was in Kyrian, got news, came down there, fought Ravin and everything. So it's just and then Nynaeve was caught up in the dream world and all of that. So yeah, information getting back to the Aes Sedai is kind of shifty right now. But yeah, he's trying to get the seat of arranged for Elaine and make his move. It almost feels like Tarmin Gaiden is knocking on the door right now. And we know there are books and books and books to come, but he's saying it's coming soon. We're already talking about the last battle. I need them as weapons ready for some great battle. And let me just say, it's not the battle we expect. There is a battle coming up, my friend. It's one of those things like, right, Matt blows the horn in book two. Well, hold on a second. I thought we were supposed to blow that bad boy at the last battle, right?
Well, so, it doesn't say, you know, exactly. It says we have to blow it in the last battle. It doesn't say we can't blow it any time before that.
Exactly. So the whole time he sets up the last battle scenario, we're training, we're getting ready for that, but things happen along the way. I have to kind of watch our characters level up, as you say, you know, as we go throughout the chapters. So the story. And this is a major leveling up for Rand.
Huge.
But yeah, and so what are your first impressions, I guess, of Taim? I mean, he's dark, dangerous guy.
Yeah, I want to say I don't trust him because I don't trust anybody that comes along. I don't know, actually. I might trust him a little bit because in order to think about his character, I haven't seen him do anything that's like super shifty yet. We've heard about him a lot.
Yeah.
But I would say if you are a male channeler and you survived this long, it's only because it's kind of like Tom Marilyn, right? Tom is like kind of dark, shifty guy too.
That's true.
In places.
Right.
The only way you could make it this long is to be sort of dark, shifty, don't trust people, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. So, people like Davron Bashir are trying to hunt him down. He thinks the same thing we have with Loghain, the problem where he believes he's the dragon. You know, why wouldn't you think that? They gentle other male channelers. They're not given a chance to live long. So no one was talking to each other. If you're a male channeler, you're not saying you're a male channeler, I'm a male channeler. No one's doing that kind of stuff. So you think you're the one, and that creates a problem. That's why they're proclaiming themselves, dragon. And so there's nothing wrong, I guess, with that. But Mazrim Taim, yeah, was one of those guys. And Rand gets it. I think now he gets it. And that we also know this. What's so weird is that we have Loghain in the back of our mind as a guy who, yeah, we didn't see him channel, but he was just like this Mazrim Taim guy. Are they one and the same? We have a soft spot a little bit for Loghain because we see him with Suan and Leanne, and we see him going into the Rebel Aes Sedai camp and stuff. So, yeah, I feel like that's something that when you think of Taim, you're wondering, how does he relate to Loghain? Would Loghain have been like this with Rand? Right.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. It's just, it's really cool. And it's just to see him now. Also, he's opening gateways left and right. He can just boom, vertical line, gateway opens. Rand can just now walk into Kyrian, walk over here. It's just, he can get anywhere he wants now. And this is where the series, I think, like the ability to travel to is something we have to keep on our mind. Rand can do it. Other people can watch him do it, and he can take groups of people, like whole armies, into other regions. So now you can see how we can just, like, he's in Camelon. All he does, I don't know what he does exactly, if he's any hand motion to it or not, but line zips down in front of you, expands, and then literally you can see from Camelon into Kyrian, and he can walk in there. The closes behind him, and he's just traveled across the freaking continent. So I just, in terms of like chaos, like the Lord of Chaos, traveling is also going to make things more chaotic. I think that's pretty easy to kind of see, to think about, if you will. So,
yes. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Awesome. All right, guys. Hey, that is part one of Lord of Chaos, not to be confused with Lords of Chaos, as I sometimes call it. As I was looking over the chapters there, because this book is, well, it's big, But it's kind of weird the way it's going to end up working, because it's like it goes through stretches where it's like you'll have like two chapters back to back that are like over an hour long. And right. then you have chapters that are like here's one. It's like 20 minutes, 19, you know. So for part two, I'm thinking literally, because it's, again, about 3 hours worth of, just over 3 hours of content in terms of the audiobook, which is how I judge things. So part two is probably just going to be chapters 4 through 6.
Okay.
Because they're all one is over an hour, so you're looking at about a little over three hours worth of reading for this next block, and then it kind of gets, well, the next one after that's pretty long too, but after that it starts to get a little more condensed, so we might end up, so there'll probably be blocks where we do like 5 chapters or
yeah
I mean, even some points I'm seeing maybe like 8 or 10 be honest. So it just kind of depends. So part two is going to be chapters 4 through 6.
Yeah, and Matt, it's a huge book. It's the biggest in terms of, I think, word count, right? I think it is the largest.
It is the biggest book in the series. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm okay if we have to take our time with this and do it part by part and kind of do some refresher on it. It's okay, because it's worth it, and it is such a good
shift.
Yeah. Yeah. And to me, it is because, again, I just recently reread it and I was like, holy smokes. So I love it. I know some people might not like this. I don't know. I would love to hear if you don't think this is the book that some people thought Fires of Heaven was supposed to hit harder. I'm like, I don't know.
Is it, where do you rank this in your all of the books? Where does this book rank for you? Is it towards the top? Is it middle?
It's towards the top, because for me, and Matt knows this of me, that like when your character has what I call like a Super Saiyan moment.
Right.
Lord, I mean, it's just like, and people say, "Well, Rand's had one of those every episode," but I don't know. It's like, can he keep topping it? You know, Rafe says it in kind of his interviews, like, "Okay, like, yes, Eye of the World is huge, but like, Robert Jordan keeps pushing things up a notch, and it, this what makes it kind of, it gives you this energy, this oomph, this uptick." And I get why people later on, those same epic moments that you feel and want around Rand aren't always there the same way. And that's not, I'm trying not to be spoiler on any of that, but right now we still have, Rand is still warring with the man inside. That man has not done anything yet necessarily. He hasn't seized Saidin, except for maybe when we first started an Eye of the World, maybe he did. But still, like, that's going to be the factor is who he's becoming. And we've got this huge rise in these moments of him becoming the dragon reborn, being the dragon, and then we're going to see him go through some dark times. So for me, this book is way high up there in the top five.
Okay, because wow.
And I think a lot of people will, once we get there, these male channelers matter, and it's crazy what happens in this book.
So that's awesome. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, hey, guys, be sure to remember, you can hit us up anywhere, you know, on Twitter at the Horn of Valyr. You can send us a message, thehornofvalyr@gmail.com. We have a Patreon as well. You can also check out our exclusive stuff on Apple Premium. If you do your podcasting that way, which is also a great way to get access to the exclusive content to all of our other shows, right? As in, I cover Harry Potter, The Elder Wand podcast, we cover Game of Thrones, A Song of Ice and Fire, Bend the Knee, cover Star Wars, Hyperspace Hangout. We have another show called The Matt and Ness Show. We're probably gonna be talking about the Batman. I know I'm gonna go see it. Probably gonna see it.
I gotta see it
3 to 5 times because Batman's my number one. So who knows? So be sure to check out any of that other content there. Also, we have a YouTube channel as well. Some of you are probably watching us here on YouTube, and some of you are listening on the podcast. We do have a lot of just extra sort of exclusive content on there. Stay tuned, because we're slowly getting into this whole TikTok thing. So may be a Wheel of Time TikTok coming. You know, a Horn of Valyr TikTok coming as well, which could introduce some short content as well as our Instagram and all that stuff. So as and I are getting a work day in here soon, so we have to do a lot of that back end stuff that takes just a lot of time for us to kind of put together. Just takes time. So anyway, with all of that, guys, I want to thank you for answering the call. Our next episode, we will be discussing Lords of Chaos Part 2, which will be chapters 4 through 6.
Yeah. If you like our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, like us, write that review, leave us a comment, or send us a message at thehornofvalir@gmail.com.
We will see you soon. And remember that the grave is no bar to our call.